time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Lori Fisher, accompanied by Kira Pace and Joshua Cosman, here on KALW.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Lori Fisher.
If you ain't except, go ahead, Josh.
No,
No.
You don't feel like you can. All right.
I'm not prepared. We've swapped.
Lori's doing good today, but I am going to indeed be the moderator today on this special edition of Minds Over Matter here on KALW, your San Francisco public radio station. I'm here with, as Damian said, Lori Fisher and Kira Pace. Dana Rodriguez is once again off for the week. We hope he will come back and we will welcome him with open arms. But until such time as he does, we're going to try and soldier on as best we can. We can soldier on to a certain extent, but there's only so much we can do without your participation, because this is, of course, an audience participation radio show. We're going to be doing quizzes. We're going to be giving answers, answering some questions, questioning some answers, and you need to be a part of that. And the way to do that is to call in at one of the phone numbers here. 415-841-4134 is the main number. That's 415-841-4134. If you like to do it old style, you got a retro thing going, you can use the toll-free number, which is 866-798-8255. Again, 866-798-8255 if you want to do it free. Otherwise, the main number is 415-841-4134. We also will be taking emails as the show goes along, as we always do, but this time with a twist. The old email address that you probably have in mind, which I'm not going to repeat for the sake of not spreading confusion, is Dana's actual private address, even though it's got the name of the show in it. So for today, we'd ask you to email us at studio, S-T-U-D-I-O, at KALW.org. We've got Damian D. Minor on the boards, and he will pass any input, any emails along to me, and we will monitor them as they come in. So without any further ado, we'll start with a round of introductions, then we'll have a round of questions, and let's begin with Kira Pace, who thinks that in the current climate, Minds Over Matter should observe PG-13 conventions, which are not really all that different from how things are now, except that she gets to use the F word once per show.
Just once, huh? Do we all get it once, or is it just you?
It's once per show. I suppose I can share. Nervous about every policy enacted by the current administration, Lori Fisher has decided to follow precisely one of their recommendations. From now on, it's beef tallow for breakfast, lunch, and especially dinner.
It is. And Joshua Cosman has never found a stranger in the Alps and consequently has never learned what would happen if he did.
Is it icebergs?
No.
Okay.
That's us. And let's begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
Oh, it's ice holes. Ice holes.
No.
Okay.
It's a different thing.
Different movie. That's true. All right. What is the Latin phrase that is the opposite of annus mirabilis?
That would be annus horribilis, the horrible year rather than the miraculous year.
That is correct. Although miserabilis right there, but okay, horribilis is would it.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what the queen said. Isn't that she said?
No, she did. You're correct. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
It was right there. So I am going to give you some short descriptions of some Annie Horribilis. I want you to tell me the year in which each occurred. So okay. I have six such years.
And do we get some leeway, or how precise do we have to be in the year? Can be.
I want the year.
Oh, I was going to say a year is a year. It's not sometime around that year.
All right. So here's the first. Queen Elizabeth II called this year her annus horribilis. Three of her four children separated from their spouses. Princess Diana's tell-all was published, and a spotlight set Windsor Castle on fire. That's the first one. Number two, the French invaded Russia in this year, leading to roughly 1 million casualties. Number three, it was the peak of the Black Death pandemic. It was also a leap year, so this terrible annus got a full extra day. Number four, the year in which Mount Vesuvius erupted, killing thousands, then preserving their bodies so that the crowds of the future could see what they were up to in their final private moments. Number five, the year that took out David Bowie, Alan Rickman, George Michael, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, and Prince. This year was notably bad for other reasons as well. And finally, known as the year without a summer, the result of the eruption of Mount Tambora 1 year prior, crop failures led to food riots and a major typhus epidemic. So those are our six annie horribilis. Do you know any of them?
Lori?
Well, I don't know any of them. I have a guess on one. And if you would give me a leeway of a decade or two, I would still be off on many of them.
Yeah.
But I think number five, which had to do with the death of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, and also was it
David Bowie, Alan Rickman, George Michael, Prince,
and then
among many others.
And then you had another clue at the end. So I think that was maybe 2016.
That was.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the one I had too.
Yeah.
Because I know it's the 10-year anniversary this year of Bowie's death.
Well, I'm going to give you a minor clue, Joshua, that one of them also has, one of them led to a piece of classical music, a very famous piece of classical music.
Okay, thank you for that. So
you're
number
welcome.
Two, so I mean, I know about, you know, about the Napoleonic invasion of Russia, thanks to what's that guy with the maps and the charts? But I didn't know exactly what year it is, but you have told me that it is 1812.
All right. Yes.
1812, correct?
The French invaded Russia in 1812. That is correct.
And Hitler said, those guys are amateurs. Let me show you how it's done.
All right. So the years that we have left then, you can take another one if you'd like, but I'll read them again for the audience. All right. Queen Elizabeth II called this year her annus horribilis. Three of her four children separated from their spouses. Princess Diana's tell-all was published, and a spotlight set Windsor Castle on fire. So that one is left. Also left is, it was the peak of the Black Death pandemic. It was also a leap year, so this terrible annus got a full extra day. Also, we have the year in which Mount Vesuvius erupted, killing thousands, then preserving their bodies so that the crowds of the future could see what they were up to in their final private moments. And finally, the year without this summer, the result of the eruption of Mount Tambora 1 year prior, crop failures led to food riots and a major typhus epidemic. That last one has a literary fun fact as well.
Ooh.
If that is helpful to anyone.
This is the year with of no summer, number six, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us the literary fun fact, or do we have to discover?
Let's leave
perhaps
it.
The
these
audience
are all famous
know.
Events. I just can't put an exact year on them. Well, while we ponder that, let's go to our first call for the morning. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matt. Hi.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. What revolutionary product is celebrating its 19th birthday this month?
First, let's do the math. That puts us to 2017, right?
No.
Oh, 19th. I beg your pardon.
So 2007.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's a product, not like a website or app?
No, it's an actual physical product, and there are lots and lots and lots and lots of them.
It's the iPhone.
Right.
It sure is. Steve Jobs at Moscone in January. Okay. On a completely different topic. Oh, by the way, the author you were thinking of illustrating the decimation of the French army, that's Edward Tufte, Display of Quantitative Information.
Thank you. Couldn't get his name.
A copy of it sitting maybe 4 feet away from me. on a completely different topic again, and this is something my husband suggested. What is the only carnivore that people in the U.S. commonly eat?
Oh, it's a great question.
Carnivores as opposed to omnivores, right?
Yes, carnivores as opposed to omnivores.
Who are the carnivores? I mean, bears and stuff. I don't suppose fish count as carnivores because they eat other fishes, do they? No.
Oh, right. They sure do.
Ooh.
Fish are counted as carnivores?
If they eat other fish.
Oh.
All right.
I did not know fish were counted as meat in that circumstance. Yeah. Good question.
It's salmon.
Oh.
Huh. They are carnivores, and the reason I'm limiting it to the U.S. is I'm not real sure about what might be eaten in some other countries.
Mm.
So let that one go. Last quick question here. The Winter Olympics are coming up in 3 weeks, and I know we don't generally do sports questions on this show, so I'm going to ask a question about the countries that participate. What are the only countries from the Southern Hemisphere to win medals in the Winter Olympics?
You mean ever in any Olympiad?
Any of those nine since the Winter Olympics started
since
in 36.
Switched over to winter, right?
Did Australia win one?
They sure did.
All right. Give myself a bell on that.
How about, I guess New Zealand, maybe?
That's right. Those are the only two from the Southern Hemisphere in the 90 years.
Sports. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Really enjoyed the show.
Thank you so much for
calling. Take care. Sure.
Thanks so much. Okay. And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So I'm sorry I have called. All right, how many
sounds
Egyptians
like it.
How many Egyptians walked in the city of Cairo in 2010 to get rid of the government? How many Egyptians? 3 million, 13 million, or 33 million?
33 million.
33 million. Wow, 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 wow. That's a good
experience. That's a lot of Egyptians.
A lot of Egyptians. Third of the country walked because it was no good. That sounds familiar? Second question, very quickly. Name the beautiful young woman, 22 years old, Iranian, who was killed by the so-called Marathi police. She was arrested, she was not killed, and then took her to prison. What did he do to her for her to die? Not very good things. Not very good things. Beating is one of them, but the other thing is obviously sex. Well, what is her name in her memory?
Don't know.
Can you take a... All right, I'll give you her name. Mahsa Amini. So everybody be careful. There's flu going around. And it's horrible. I just took the bus one time in 20 years, and I got the flu. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So,
I hope you feel better. Thank you much for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Take a rest. And Lori, I think it's your turn for a question.
All right. Well, this question was inspired by you, Josh, when you asked.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet.
And it'll be, and it's related to sports
good.
And movies. So You gave me a question about there are 30 Major League Baseball teams, and the team names like the Yankees or the Giants or the Orioles turned up in, I think, 5 Beatles songs.
Right.
So this is a question. If you take the team names, the Orioles or the Twins or Cubs or whatever, how many of those words are in movies that won or were nominated for Best Picture? Okay. So, for instance, if the Oriole, and it could be singular or plural, so if the word Oriole or Orioles was in there, there are 6 of them, and I would say 4 of them are from classic old-fashioned baseball teams that everybody knows. 2 are kind of more recent teams, and all the movies, of course, are very well known. So it's that the team name appears in the title of a movie that won or was nominated for Best Picture, and 6 cities and a total of 10 films. So have at it.
So I'm sorry. Never mind.
Okay.
I don't know that it was nominated for Best Picture, but it seems plausible. For some reason, the first thing that came to mind is they might be Giants.
No, that was not nominated for Best Picture, but you're in. That is one of the teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Pride of the Yankees?
Yes, excellent. Boy,
I went with the most on-the-nose one.
Good.
A sports movie, even. That's so, really
it's
good.
It's about the Yankees, and yes. It uses the word Yankees.
It's about Lou Gehrig, 1942, yeah.
Well, okay, I forgot you'd said they could be singular as well as plural, yes. So that would be the James Dean movie Giant.
Yes, James Dean movie Giant was nominated.
All right.
All right, I have 2 of them.
There must be some more of these.
Yeah.
Did Secondhand Lions ever get a nomination?
It did not get nominated. and Lions
oh,
is
Lion and Winter. Lion and Winter.
Well, Lion is a football team, not a baseball team.
I'm sorry. Don't
But move over geographically, stay in the same city and see if you can get that. Which baseball?
Tiger.
Oh, Save the the Jack Lemmon movie. What's it called?
Save the Tiger was not nominated, so it's not that
one. All right.
One.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me. It was in the 2000s.
Tiger, like, what's up, Tiger Lily?
No, not yeah, really, funny. Not really, like not that. Nominated.
All right, I can see that we could
dwell we on could, this. Yeah.
What do you think? Did She's No Angel ever get a nomination?
It did not.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
What about Hogan's Weirdo Angels?
Weirdo Angels also did not get nominated.
Interesting. Yankees, Phillies, Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates of the Caribbean. Nice. So one of those movies.
None of the Pirates.
None of the Pirates
showed up. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So we'll leave it out there. We're looking for
flailing at this.
Yeah.
Let's leave it out.
We have the Giants in the movie Giant, and we have the Yankees, Pride of the Yankees. And there are 4 other cities, and one of the cities we've already mentioned has a second movie with that name in the title. So either Giant or Yankee comes up again.
All right.
Very good.
And why not take a call on that note? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody. How about the movie Ray?
Yes, Ray is.
Of course.
The Tampa Bay Rays. That's very good. That one was really nicely done. Excellent.
Thank you. And then Vesuvius Cure was in 79 AD.
You could have stopped at 79 because that is the correct answer. Nice job on that.
Yay. And the year without the summer is 1815, I believe.
1815 was the eruption. The year without a summer then was?
1815?
Well, 1815 was the eruption. So it was.
Oh, it was the eruption, 1816 without the summer.
There we go. Yes. And
which
that
led
was
to
actually
Frankenstein,
the year that a bunch
right?
Of, I'm sorry?
That led to Frankenstein.
It did. That's right. A bunch of famous writers at Villa Diodati led to Frankenstein, Dracula, and a bunch of poetry.
Yay.
So nice and job then, there, too.
Well done.
Oops. I'll go this one out. We'll get it this way. Okay, so my question this week is couple days ago, the Swedish, the top song on the Swedish charts was taken off the charts. Do you know why? It's a song by a guy by Jacob, J-A-C-U-B.
It was removed from the charts after being on there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it was numbered the number one
AI song.
Oh.
It's an AI song. Yeah, it's all AI. Wow. Not a real person or artist. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's still the number one streaming, so look for it. It's all coming for us. Thanks a lot. Great show. Bye.
Thanks, Tom. All right. I'm going to step in with a question here. I did not know when I put together my opening question about Oscar-winning best movies that had won the Best Picture Oscar that we were going to be on this all day, but I'm not backing down now. In honor of Kira, I'm going to start with a small follow-up and then a list question. I mean, starting with a follow-up, you know what I mean. An intro.
A lead-in question.
Thank you, term of art. The lead-in question is, and I'll just say to restart, I'm going to be asking for a lot of Best Picture winning movies. None of them are on Lori's list, so we have no overlap, thank God. I checked for baseball teams. They're not there.
Okay.
So what are the two Pulitzer Prize-winning novels that were the basis for an Oscar-winning movie? What two Pulitzer Prize-winning novels were the basis for an Oscar that itself, for a movie, rather, that itself won Best Oscar, an Oscar for Best Picture? I keep stumbling over this. I apologize.
Did it win Best Picture?
Yes. Yes, there are two novels that won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction and went on to be the basis for a movie that won the Oscar for Best Picture. And now a list. This will be familiar to Lori because it's a follow-up for the question that I asked last time, but I had so many that I had to come back to it. So I'm going to give you the names of some authors, each of which wrote a novel that became the basis for a Best Picture winning movie. I want you to tell me the name of the movie. I had an example. What was it? Oh, somebody said last week we had, you know, Thomas Keneally, whose novel was the basis for Schindler's List. So here's 10 more authors whose novels became the basis, became Oscar-winning films. Michael Blake, Colette, Daphne du Maurier, Edna Ferber, Winston Groom, Charles R. Jackson, James Jones, Cormac McCarthy, Larry McMurtry, and Lew Wallace. All of these writers wrote a novel that became the basis for a Best Picture winning movie. Michael Blake, Colette, Daphne du Maurier, Edna Ferber, Winston Groom, Charles R. Jackson, James Jones, Cormac McCarthy, Larry McMurtry, and Lew Wallace. What are the movies in question?
Wait a minute. Okay. Kira? Kira, go ahead if you have
All right,
something.
Well, I'll take the easy. Daphne du Maurier was Rebecca.
That is correct. Well done.
You have another?
I only know that Larry McMurtry wrote Lonesome Dove, but that didn't get... That was the Best Picture winner?
No. You're right that he won Lonesome Dove, but it did not.
Okay,
And that won the Pulitzer for fiction, but it did not become a movie of any kind.
I think he wrote The Last Picture Show. Is that it?
He did write The Last Picture Show, now that you mentioned, but it did not win.
Oh, I thought that did win. Okay.
No, it did not win.
I think James Jones wrote From Here to Eternity, didn't he?
You are correct. Right.
And another McMurtry.
And the others?
One more I think I have. Hold on a second. Oh, Lew Wallace wrote, be right, Ben-Hur?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Exactly so.
McMurtry, though. Oh, I thought I had that. We got to think about that.
Got another one, Kira?
I do not.
Okay. And any thoughts on the two Pulitzer Prize winning novels that became Best Picture winners?
That's interesting. It's right on the edge of my mind. Right. But I
didn't put them on the original list. Yeah. If I give you the authors, it becomes too easy. But all right. Well, think about it. Yeah.
Is one of them Hemingway?
No.
Okay.
I mean, Hemingway.
Is one of them Steinbeck?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Those guys don't.
Right. Well, I thought East of Eden and Grapes of Wrath both were highly acclaimed movies, and so I thought, but I don't think they won Best Picture.
Neither of them won a Best Picture. Although,
work with me on this one. Didn't Sinclair Lewis do screenwriting?
I'm going to say probably, but he's pretty early to have gone over there. What are you thinking?
I'm not.
Okay. It's Edna Ferber who should be the one we get. Okay. Did she write Giant? And I'm trying to else. Yeah, but nope. We already know that's not it.
That's not it.
Didn't win, and that's a baseball team.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Good question.
We'll leave him out there.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, if you're just joining us, we're here with Minds Over Matter on KALW, your local public radio station. We're here every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 in the morning. We're trading questions and answers about pop culture, movies, sports, politics, ancient Greek philosophy, and many, many more subjects, basically whatever suits our fancy. And we'd love for you to join in and take part. The number to join us, if you're just getting here, is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And hold on a second. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And if you want to send us an answer or a question by email, please do it this week at studio@kalw.org, because Dana, who usually uses his own email address for that, is not with us this week, but he will be back. Okay. And let's go to a call, I think. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Colette was Gigi.
Yes, she was. Well done. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
What else you got? Oh, that's it. All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, good morning, all. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, Sandra.
We're back. Yes, we've been out.
We missed you.
Herding goats in Afghanistan. Let's see. Baseball names. How about Reds?
Yes.
Warren Beatty movie.
Very good. Excellent. Glad you got that.
Oh, I'm so glad too. And not a bad team even. And I know we're no angels, and the Lone Ranger aren't. But I just had to give them a shout out.
They were not nominated, unfortunately.
No, but I saw We're No Angels recently, and it's still a charmer. So the annus horribilis of the great London plague year was 1666.
Yeah, we had
I didn't ask about the London plague. This is the Black Death pandemic.
That's the 1300. Okay, fine, whatever. But I had an actual year there.
You are correct about the London plague. If only I had asked. I apologize. That's on me. I should have asked.
Exactly. We should have worked this out ahead.
I have answers to lots of questions you guys haven't asked.
All right. Did McCarthy write Brokeback Mountain?
McCarthy did not write Brokeback Mountain, which also did not win for Best Picture.
Larry McMurtry's
Terms of Endearment, right?
That's it. Good job. Larry McMurtry wrote the novel that became Terms of Endearment.
Right.
Thank you.
And did we have the Pulitzer Remains of the Day? Is that one that...
Oh, that's a good guess. That did not win Best Picture. I don't remember whether it won the Pulitzer. It's not the right answer.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for our answers. Here's a really quick question. Another Beatles question in honor of Josh there. So, as far as I can tell, exactly three members of the Rolling Stones appeared on commercially released Beatles recordings. Which recordings and which Rolling Stones?
Wow.
Okay. Brian Jones, is he one of them?
He is. Well done.
And was he on something like Yellow Submarine?
Well, it's, shall we say, a lesser known, it's a deep cut, but it's not Yellow Submarine.
Okay. And was Mick Jagger one of them also?
Yep.
Was one of them in on All You Need Is Love? Because they had a big chorus in that one.
That's right.
That's the one.
Wow. That's right. All You Need Is Love, right there, Mick. And I'll give you the other half. Keith was there too.
All right.
Oh, that's two of them. But so any idea which song Brian was on, and what he played?
Oh, did he play a sitar? Maybe.
Oh, good, very good. No.
That was my thought too, but then I thought, what, he's teaching George Harrison how to play this, you know.
Maybe
no, he actually
was dueling sitars in one song.
He played the sitar. He played the sitar. Give him full marks for that, but no, not in the...
Did he do more of a percussion thing, like a tambourine or maraca?
Nope.
That's what I...
Nope.
No? He played an actual instrument with
music. Yeah, I played an actual instrument. I'm gonna let you tick, tick, tick for about 3 seconds and give it to you. All right, so I guess it's you know it if you know it. He played saxophone. And he played saxophone on You Know My Name, Look Up the Number.
Okay, that's
wow.
A deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah, it's a deep cut. I mean, you gotta be a real Beatles lover to even know that one, but there you go. That's all we got.
We're going to say Happy New Year because this is the first chance we've had. And if Dana's listening, Happy New Year to you too. Love you guys.
Great. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks so much for the call. I have another baseball movie that occurred to me as I was thinking of a smart-ass wrong answer. I suddenly realized there was a good answer that went with that, and it is When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, so good.
I'm missing it. What is
met.
It?
When
oh,
Harry met.
Met
Sally.
Oh, but it didn't.
It didn't get nominated for anything? Oh, come on.
Well, audience, check me, because I looked up Met, and I actually looked up Meat, and it didn't turn up. I like it. I'm giving you a bell. It might be our last bell, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And all right. Let's see. I think it's Kira, your turn for a new question.
All right. So... Before I ask, we can agree that I'm sorry and forgive me are roughly the same thing, right? They're roughly synonymous, right?
Close.
Yeah, and father and dad are kind of the same. And I mean, they're synonyms. And being bad could be described as sinning, right? Yeah, are we in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. Despite this, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned is somehow not at all the same as I'm sorry, Daddy, I've been bad. And this anomaly has been described as a quadruple entendre or by a person named Ricky Heiklin as unparalleled misalignment. So I am going to give you one half of an unparalleled misalignment, and I want you to give me the other half. Again, these are non-synonymous phrases in which the individual fragments have, or between both halves are synonymous, but the phrases as a whole are not. All right, you ready?
So is forgive me, Father, I have sinned an example of this?
It's forgive me, Father, I have sinned, and I'm sorry, Daddy, I've been bad. Those are examples where those are completely different. So the ones we have are... father figure, counterculture, playbill.
Playbill or Play-Doh?
Playbill, like Broadway. Earnings call, blanket statement, underdog, homeschooled, drink menu, and pen pal. So again, father figure, counterculture, playbill, earnings call, blanket statement, underdog, homeschooled, drink menu, and pen pal. And again, these are unparalleled misalignments, which is to say non-synonymous phrases, but where the individual fragments between both halves are synonymous.
Mm. Ooh, all right.
Boy, I don't know how to, I don't know where to begin with these. Drink menu.
Other fee, all right. So in every case, is it, if it's a two-word phrase, we're going to come up with a two-word phrase? So father right. figure is going to come up with a daddy something?
Yeah, so like, for example, if I had said, like, booty call and butt dial are two different things, but they're like the individual fragments are the same.
Okay. That helps. But man.
No, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fun to think about. That's true. Yeah. Homeschooled.
Drink menu. Whoa.
Or if I said, for example, forest. No, that's not a good one. Like telephone pole and call log. Telephone and call, same. Pole and log, reasonably similar, but telephone pole and call log are different. Well,
man,
the wordplay right. is crashing and burning today.
No, it is
no,
just,
no, it's mean, fun.
They're fun, it's but they're hard fun, yeah. to do.
Homeschool.
Why don't we see if we've got people in the audience who are smarter than us and take a call? And
we definitely have people in the audience smarter than us.
We've got people waiting to talk to us.
Yeah.
So let's go to the phone. And hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Nice to see you all again, hear you all again. Hope Dana's recovering. Kara, I think underdog is lower canine.
Oh, that's good. You know what? I'm going to give that to you because that is a real thing. Lower canine, that's a thing. I was looking for subwoofer.
That's a good one too. Oh, that's even better.
Oh, those are both
okay,
good.
Okay, those are good.
Wonderful.
And that is all I have. I just had to call in quickly because that occurred to me.
No, that was so
well
good.
Well done. Very good.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. Right.
And next call. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? It's Delmore in Oakland.
Hi, Delmore.
I just want to thank you for pandering to your latent sports trivia audience.
Oh,
so I got two for you.
Happy
to do it. Well, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes, that's very good.
Yeah, baby.
That's
I'll
the
take
title.
That, Bill.
You do.
And did damn Yankees ever get
it did not nominated get nominated. That would be perfect. I pride of the Yankees, but not nominated, unfortunately.
All right, well, we tried.
Great guess.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and next call.
Hello?
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? Yep, go ahead.
You can hear me. Sorry.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Right, yes, can you hear me? Thank you. Thanks very much. This is Ian from North Berkeley, Ohlone Territory. I have a correction, a comment, and a question very quickly.
Okay.
Correction. I'm a recovering classicist and annus horribilis. So it's a prepenultimate stress for horribilis. And technically annus is annus, so it's a geminate. If you say annus, that means arsehole. Can we say that on KLW? That's the correction for those whose Latinity is insecure. I had a rough childhood learning a lot of this stuff. My comment is that maybe just to supplement the year of year with no summer, right, 1816, and it was Mount Tambora in Malay, now Indonesia, which destroyed a civilization in about 30, half a second. The whole civilization was snuffed out, rather like Herculaneum or Pompeii, and it still awaits its archaeologists. One other, apart from Frankenstein, the high-powered literary summer party that happened on Lake Geneva was pretty remarkable. You're right, I met Mary Godwin and her lover Percy Shelley and Lord Byron and a couple of others. What great poem, one of the greatest poems of the language, was written at the same time as they were trapped inside because they couldn't see the sun at lunchtime on Lake Lemon, Lac Le Mans. So that's the question. Finally, thank you so much for your time. This might be a tricky one. What very fine book about the Vietnam syndrome or the post-Vietnam book was turned into a movie that was a Hollywood movie that was made in North Berkeley here. I'm speaking from the Spring Creek in North Berkeley. And the film was made of this book by a great Anglo-Czech director who got out on the, I think maybe either second or the last Kinder transport from Prague Station in 1938. He became a great director, made three movies in the States, gave up, and went back to Ireland, where I'm from originally, and was a stage plays. A truly great director, and he gave up. It was just too hard.
Is it Milos Forman?
Sorry?
Is Milos Forman the director?
He left overnight when the tanks rolled into Prague.
But that was 68, surely.
That was in 68.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, Stoppard came out on the Kinder transport, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong.
He wasn't a film director.
Yeah. Well, he did one, but I forget what it was.
So 1938 was when they left? It wouldn't have been Billy Wilder, would it?
No, boy, he never gave 12. Up.
Yeah.
Boy, 11 or 12.
No, he stumped us. He
London. And managed to get into a pit fire in 1945 or 6. The VE Day had been declared, so he never got to. He didn't know that his parents had gone to heaven. But it's a sad story. No, he made a film in the mid-70s here about Vietnam.
Yeah.
It's one of the post-Vietnam movies.
No.
In Berkeley.
We're not getting there.
Okay, shall I give you another?
Wait,
Kira's got it.
Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. You said it was in the 70s. Okay, don't mind me.
No, we're stumped as stumped can be.
All right, a clue for the audience. I'm speaking now to all your vast audience because a lot of the questions are too Google compliant for my
of course.
Taste. But okay, so the love interest was the daughter of a very powerful family in Massachusetts. With an unfortunate nickname given to her by her agent when she was 4. And in the opening scene, she worked at Moe's or Cody's. Some of you may remember Cody's books. And a MacGuffin delivered from Oakland Docks. I'm banging on too much here. How many more?
We're going to have to, I think you've defeated us ultimately, and you'll have to take your triumph.
I'm enjoying the show. I always love the show, and I waited 30 minutes, and it was well worth it. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Wait.
What was the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still on.
Good. Tell us.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Yes, we do. Otherwise, we won't know.
Well, somebody in the audience will know. And this is
that they won't tell us,
and we won't know if they're right.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, the book was by Robert Stone, Bob Stone.
Right.
Dog soldiers.
But who directed such a movie?
And Bob Stone, Ken Kesey, and the gang got into further and went across the country with drive-by shouting, and whose apartment did they arrive at in Manhattan but Robert Stone, the awkward novelist. Hmm. Now, the film, as it was around the world, was called Dog Soldiers, but the grotesquely, the accountants who were in charge of United at the time down in Hollywood thought that the American audience was so cretinized that they'd think it was a film about canines. So they renamed it for the American audience only after a 30-second snatch of a film to establish that it's a mid-70s moment. The house where it was, where the opening scene is the house that looks down over, through the Golden Gate. And it's Nick Nolte's first movie. How much more do you need?
I think we've run our course. Yeah. We've got a lot of calls waiting, Ian. If you want to tell us, but otherwise we're going to have to move on.
The movie's called Who'll Stop the Rain? And you can see it on YouTube.
Great.
Okay, Nick Nolte and the great Tuesday Weld was the love interest. Okay, thank you. I really am going.
Thanks.
Many thanks.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks so much for your call. We're well past halfway time. It is traditional to restate the questions that are still unanswered. So let's do that as quickly as we can, and then we'll take lots of calls. Kira, what have you got?
All right, I'm not going to say the Latin phrase again. I am simply going to say bad year, horrible year. We have two horrible years left. The first one is Queen Elizabeth II called this year her horrible year. Three of her four children separated from their spouses. Princess Diana's tell-all was published and a spotlight set Windsor Castle on fire. The other one I have is that is the peak of the Black Death pandemic. It was also a leap year, so this terrible year got a full extra day. Oh, also, I have my unparalleled misalignments. The list includes father figure, counterculture, playbill, earnings call, blanket statement, homeschooled, drink menu, and pen pal, looking for phrases that are not at all synonymous as a whole, but synonymous in the individual pieces.
I am looking for films that won or were nominated for Best Picture that have a word in their title that is also the name of a baseball team. We have Giant for Giants. We have Ray for Rays. We have Pride of the Yankees. And Tigers, I'm looking for, and we have Reds. As a hint, there are three more in the Reds category, one more in the Yankees category, and one we haven't gotten at all. There's kind of two bonus ones because the word is kind of buried in a compound word, but I'll leave those for a little bit later, and that's all I have right now.
Okay, and I'm looking for the two Pulitzer Prize-winning novels that became the basis for Oscar-winning Best Picture movies. Also, the Best Picture movies that are based on novels by these writers: Michael Blake, Edna Ferber, Winston Groom, Charles R. Jackson, and Cormac McCarthy. So that's where we're at now, and let's jump right in and take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
And for the Edna Ferber novel, Cimarron.
Cimarron is correct. Very good. Thank you.
And for the Pulitzer Prize, Grapes of Wrath.
No, good guess, but it did not win the Oscar for Best Picture.
It did not.
No. Sure
did. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Sacramento Slim here.
Hi, Sacramento Slim.
Hey, Slim.
I'm going to give a couple of questions over counties. what are the four most common names for counties in the U.S.?
Wow. Four counties. Lincoln.
No, good guess. I would have thought that, but no.
Okay.
Are any of them presidents?
Let's say that some of them are.
How about Madison?
No. Oh, and by the way, I said that Lincoln wasn't one. It actually is. It's tied for fourth.
Oh, okay.
Jefferson?
And Jefferson's number two. Thank you.
Huh. My favorite county is King County in Washington because they have signs that show the profile of Martin Luther King, but that's not who it was named after. They kind of came in retroactively and said, actually, we've always been King County. Now we're naming ourselves after Martin Luther King. Are there other
no.
King counties?
No.
Okay.
But well, I'll give you the fact that it was in Washington because Washington is the most common one.
Of course.
So three of them are president so far, which means I bet the fourth one is too. Sacramento.
Oh, how about Roosevelt?
No.
Wouldn't that be fitting? Oh, come on.
Adams?
No.
Monroe. Oh, Monroe, it's got to be.
No. Sorry.
Slim, are we out of presidents now, or should we keep trying?
There's about 42 more.
No, but it is one.
No, in the top four, which is now to five, since you're counting the tied for fourth.
Right, a tie for fourth. Yeah.
Yeah, but are in those five? Should we look for another president, or should we?
Two presidents.
Oh, they're all presidents.
How about Jackson?
Jackson, yes, tied for fourth.
All right.
I'm taking too long here, so I'm going to give you nobody got Franklin. And Franklin wasn't president.
Not a president, but
no,
still a good man.
Yeah.
And my other quick question is, several states have a county with a unique name, and that county is not named in there's no other county with that name in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But one county, one state has all of its counties are unique names, not found in any other state.
Wow.
Is it Hawaii?
I was going to say.
It is Hawaii.
Oh, that's great.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Good show today, and I'll get off the air. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much, Slim. Thanks for calling. Let's go to another call. We're letting
the
people
calls.
In who've been waiting.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. For the Pulitzer Prize-winning book that became a Best Picture, Color Purple.
Oh, what a good guess, but it's not correct. Color Purple definitely did not win Best Picture.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And Major League Baseball team that was nominated for an Oscar, Rocky?
Yes. And it was
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
with
you.
Rocky Raccoon. Yeah, Rocky's the winner. Very nice. Ding.
Oh, thank you. There. And the Queen's horrible year was 1992.
Nice job. It absolutely was.
Wow.
Thank you. I'll stop there and have a good day.
You're a winner.
Good Thanks
luck.
So much. We got another call on the line. Let's see. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Kira. You said pen pal. What?
I did.
Here's a quick question. In an expression like "the pen is mightier than the sword," what parts of speech? How would you characterize those words?
Don't know what
they're
you
called.
Mean.
What?
Oh, you're talking about metonymy.
That's right. That's right. The pen is mighty. I love those. There's more of those than when you start looking around, they're all around you. Like if you call something a red herring, those actually are in the course of a day, you may find whatever dozens of them in a day. Or anyway, here's a question. Cause you talked about, I read a book about what you talked about. Now you mentioned the literature, what led to Frankenstein. First of all, what do you call the idea of the end of the world? Like religions based on the end of the world or the end times?
Apocalypse.
Or you mean death cults?
Apocalypse is kind of close, but it's called millennials. Millennialism?
Sure.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that I read a book or a course called Crucible of the Millennium, and it focused on where in the United States did this, you already said Summer Without Sun. It led to religions that are still very active today, and they were born out of people thinking, oh, this is the end of the world.
That'll happen. All right, listen, we're going to have to move along.
Okay, no, upstate New York and the Mormonism was born out of that, of the explosion of Mount Tambora, because it caused no crops to grow in upstate New York. And that was the fertile ground for new religions, millennialist religions.
Very good.
Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for calling. We got time for just one more call. No, we have no time for any calls. We're going to call it a day right there. So if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Let's quickly round up any answers we do not have yet.
Peak of the Black Death pandemic, that was also a leap year. That was 1348. My unparalleled misalignments. Oh, father figure is a dad bod. Counterculture is antibacterial. Playbill is fake money. Earnings call is a payphone. Blanket statement is a cover story. Homeschooled is house trained. I like that one. Drink menu is a spirit guide. And finally, pen pal, that's a cellmate.
Ah, excellent.
And what was homeschooled?
House trained.
House trained.
Oh, very nice. That it?
That's it.
On my baseball teams, the ones we're missing, there are three Reds that we're missing. We have Ruggles of Red Gap, Red Shoes, and the Thin Red Line. The Yankee picture that we're missing is, anybody know? Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, of course.
The two that were strange is the Atlanta Braves, Braveheart, which is a compound word, so I wouldn't count it. And then the word angel is buried in Dr. Strangelove, right in the middle. So that would have been spectacular.
That's pretty stretchy.
Yeah, that was on the bonus list. That wasn't the original. And that's all I had today.
Good. The authors that we missed, Michael Blake wrote the novel that was the basis for Dancing with Wolves. Winston Groom wrote Forrest Gump. Charles L. Jackson wrote The Lost Weekend. And Cormac McCarthy, anybody have a last minute epiphany? That's No Country for Old Men.
Oh, right.
And the Pulitzer Prize winning novels that won Oscar for Best Picture were Gone with the Wind and All the King's Men.
Oh, man.
So that about does it for us. As I said before, if we didn't get to your call today, we apologize, but come back next week. I don't know that Dana will be back, but somebody cool will be here. And that's been us. I'm Joshua Cosman, your moderator. Thanks to Lori Fisher. Thanks to Kira Pace. And of course, to Damian D. Minor on the boards, handling things with suavity and aplomb. And if you... Wait, now he says we can take one more call.
Oh, wait.
No. We'll call it.
Should we have one more question or no?
No. Anybody got like a 2-second question?
Yeah. What's the only state that on a QWERTY keyboard can be, the name can be typed in one row, one horizontal row? There's only one. And I'll give you a hint.
It's
the middle row.
Sure. And I'm looking at my keyboard right now because I'm not going to try and brainstorm this in real time. Alaska.
That's it. Final bell. Ready to go.
All right.
Great work.
Thanks so much, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.